Well, are you ready for the word this morning? All right. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to share verse 22 again, but we're going to go through verse 28. We're expanding now. Matthew 1, 22 through 28. We've been talking about exousia, and we're going to continue on that again this morning. It says in Mark 1, it says, Jesus spoke at the synagogue in Capernaum. Verse 22 picks it up and says, they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now we've been talking and looking at this word authority. In the Old King James, it's translated power, but it's the Greek word exousia. And it's a neat word. And when Jesus taught with this exousia, the people looked at it and said, this is a new doctrine. We've never heard anybody talk about power, authority, exousia, like Jesus. And then Jesus demonstrated it. And in verse 28 or 27, it says, what new doctrine is this? For with authority, with exousia, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Well, this new doctrine that they thought is has authority over unclean spirits. It is an authority that is a sign of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. The word exousia, for you if you haven't been with us, literally means authority or power. But when you go back to the base of the word, because there's other words for authority. There are other words for power. But in these two verses, the word exousia is used. It literally means the power of choice. It means, and this is absolutely wild, but this is in the Bible dictionaries, it means the liberty of doing as one pleases. Now, every time I think about that, I have to settle and let that sink in me. The ability to do as one pleases. It came to be changed over the transition to become the ability or strength with which one is endued, or the power of authority. But when you understand authority in biblical days, if you had authority, you had unlimited authority, the freedom, the liberty to do whatever you please within constraints of the one who gave you that authority. So the centurion, we looked at this earlier, the centurion comes to Jesus and he says, I'm a man under authority. All you have to do is speak the word because I understand authority. So for I am a man under authority, and I have authority over others. And I understand what it is to have free will. I understand what it is to have that liberty to do whatever I please. I understand the limitations, and I understand the power that it has. And Jesus, all you need to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled and says, oh, what great faith you have. I've not seen faith like this in all of Israel. Well, we could say, I haven't seen faith like this in the church. I haven't seen faith like this in Christians. Because and we look at this is a new doctrine. This is why so many people don't like the message of faith. I just don't believe you can have what you say. But Jesus said, you can have what you say. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, why not? Because you don't understand exousia. You don't understand authority. You don't understand what God has given to us. We looked at an earlier scripture of where Jesus called his disciples together and he says, I give you power over unclean spirits, over the dead. And you can command the dead to rise. I give you authority. And again, the Greek word is exousia. If you want to cast out unclean spirits, if you want to cast out devils, if you want to heal the sick, if you want to raise the dead, it's up to you. See, a lot of charismatics, we're waiting for the power. Oh, 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 oh. We're waiting for that power to show. Oh, I know God is here. But God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Now, I understand there's times when the anointing is greater. I understand that. But you don't have to, to get the power. You have to believe Jesus. You have to be obedient to Him, and the power comes. I mean, Jesus, do you remember one day Jesus is just walking through town? I forget if they were going to a meeting or coming from a meeting, but they were just walking through town, and the disciples were around them, and the crowd was around them. And this little woman with an issue of blood somehow gets through the crowd and grabs hold of the hem of his garment and gets healed. And Jesus said, I felt virtue flow out of me. One of the problems that we have is we haven't walked enough with God for there to be enough virtue to flow out of us. But if you spend time with God, virtue builds up. And it can become like a static charge on the inside of you that when people touch you, it releases the virtue. It releases the power of God. They talked about the disciples and said, these aren't educated men. In other words, they're not too bright. In other words, they're like any one of us. They were laborers. They were workers. But they said, they've been with Jesus. In other words, we understand the virtue that is in them. And we better be cautious of these men because they have been with Jesus. See, this is one of the signs of the kingdom, Ezousia. So you better be careful with these disciples. You better be careful with these apostles because they can do whatever they please. And when you're around people that are accustomed to doing whatever they please, you say, yes, sir, no, sir, and can I help you, sir? Do you want some water, sir? What is it that I can do for you, sir? You may hate them. You may want to kill them, but you understand authority and you treat them nice. You know, we may not always like who the president of the United States is. We may not always like the boss that is over us at work. You may not like them. You may not like to work under them, but when you get called to the office, you go, yes, sir. Why? You understand they have authority. You understand that they have authority that is not always written on paper. And you understand that they have authority to do with you as they please. And so you go, yes, sir. You're polite to them. You're good. You know that your career hangs by their decision. And if you go in and just are uppity and smart mouth and smart alecky with them, they don't have to give you anything. You understand? You're beginning to understand authority, beginning to understand ezousia. So you're nice to them, even though you may not like them, but you don't just go in with a dirty mouth when you get called in front because they've got authority and you understand it. Well, that's ezousia. That's not just other kinds of authority. That's ezousia, that they have free will. Now, let's review a little bit here. Because I want us to understand the basis of how ezousia operates really in any of our lives, but it operates particularly among Christians. All ezousia is under submission. Jesus said, I have come to do not my will, but the will of the one who sent me. We understand that. So all ezousia is under authority. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit later. There's also a threefold key to the operation of ezousia, of proper ezousia. Number one is relationship. Number two is the word of God. And number three is the calling of God on your life. In other words, ezousia operates in part according to the calling. Some of us are called to do certain things. And in that realm, you have ezousia, you have the freedom to do whatever you please in that realm. But you know as well as I do, once you get outside of that realm, you're as much a klutz as anybody else. But as long as you stay in that gifting, as long as you stay in that calling, as long as you stay in that area of expertise, man, people will come to you and they'll give you things as long as you will operate in that area because it is an anointed area. You have ezousia there. You have liberty. Now, we used this illustration the other week, but If you bring your car to me and want me to work on your car, I can tear it apart, I can lay out the parts, I can clean it, I can grease it up. Do not expect me to put it back together and have it operate. You can give me the directions and I'll have pieces left over. I'm telling you, I'll have pieces left over. But if you bring in a clunkered, something that doesn't work to somebody that is gifted in that area, although they've never seen the equipment, although they've never worked on it, they don't know, they don't have the instructions of how to disassemble and reassemble, they can get that baby working and working in good, right order and not have a clue about all the technical specifications. Amen? You understand that? Well, they've got a Zusi in that area. They can do whatever they want. And you can say, well, don't you need to do this first? Don't you need to do that? Well, what about this other thing? But you're following the book. They understand. And they can take it apart and they can look at something and know, okay, I don't need to do that because this is fine because I can tell by the wear on this piece that this is not the problem. But I've seen a lot of people and a lot of people in this area that they think that they're anointed to work on their cars. So when their car breaks down, well, must be the fuel pump. So they replace the fuel pump. No, it wasn't the fuel pump. Must be the carburetor. Replace the carburetor. No, it must not have been the carburetor. Well, we'll try this and we'll try that. And after spending hundreds of dollars to get their car replaced, they finally, by chance, by the process of elimination, find out what was really wrong and repair it. I just take mine down to the garage where they're already anointed and they can diagnose it by listening to it and put in a new piece, and it doesn't cost me near the amount of money and doesn't cost me near the amount of time that others who are ungifted in that area have tried to save a buck or two. You see, I give because I go to regular mechanics and because I know that they know what they're doing, I give them a Zusia. Whatever you guys want to do, do it. And they'll still come out, well, look at this piece. Do you want to replace this? I go, what do you think? He said, well, if I were you, I'd replace that. I'll replace it then. Why? They know more than I do. So I give them liberty in those areas. And I've got good mechanics. They don't con me. They don't cheat me. They don't rob me. I mean, I've had them tell me, you don't need this. Because I took the car to one garage out of town one time because we were having some trouble. And they said, well, you need to replace this. And it was like $5,000 worth of repair. And I took it to my mechanics. And they looked at us, oh, you don't need that. Oh, I wouldn't do that. No. You don't need that. You don't need this. I mean, I love a mechanic that tells me what they don't need to replace. Amen. Rather than the mechanic, well, if I were you, I'd rebuild this engine. I'd take out the old transmission and replace. Some of them will tell you that. They'll tell you anything to get a buck. But I won't go back there because I won't give them any more Azusia over my automobile. You understand what I'm saying? See, Azusia is always submitted to the will of the Father and operates according to His character. Operates according to His character. Now, a lot of Christians have gotten what they think is a Zusia, and they think, well, I can do anything I want to. Whoa. The old saying, what would Jesus do? Now, that starts putting limits on. Well, I don't care what Jesus would do. I want to do this. Well, then you're out of line. And your Zusia is now rebellion, and your Zusia will now cause problems and will cause distress and destroy things, become destructive, although you think you're using it for good, but it becomes counterproductive because you're not operating under submission to God. Now, a lot of churches get torn up because people say, well, I have free will, I can do whatever I want. But would God approve of what you do? Well, I think the end result, I'm not talking about the end result. I'm saying, is this what God would do? Because if God wouldn't do it that way, you shouldn't do it that way. That's part of lordship. You don't do it that way. If you have to lie, if you have to embellish, if you have to stretch the point to get people to cooperate with you, would Jesus do that? Would Jesus make up stories about people so you can win them over to your side? If Jesus wouldn't do that, you don't need to. Say, well, I have a Zusia. Well, yeah, you have a Zusia, but the Bible says liars have no part of the kingdom of God. Whoa. Well, I have a Zusia. Yeah, but if you're a liar, there's already a place for liars. It's already been predetermined. So if you're a habitual liar and a fraud and a cheat and a scoundrel, don't think that you're using exousia in the manner that God would have you use exousia. Okay, amen. Good preaching, brother. See, when Jesus taught, they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one having authority or exousia. And we need to understand this. We were all created with exousia. Every one of us has. Every one of us has been created with exousia. You can do what you want. You can have what you say within the limitations that we've already set out. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be, listen, brought under the power of any. Well, what is the word power there? It's exousia. He says, all things are good for me, or all things are lawful for me, but not everything's helpful. We can all say amen for that. You can right now, as a believer or unbeliever, you can do anything you want. The question is, will it help you? Big question. If it won't help me, I don't really want to do that. Okay? And then he goes on to say again, and he repeats it, all things are lawful for me, which means I have the right to do anything I please, but I will not be brought under the exousia of any. The exousia there is a verb. It's actually exousiazo. I get tripped up in my Greek. You correct me if I mispronounce it. Like I know anyway. But it's a verb. In other words, we're talking about when they said Jesus taught with authority, it's a noun. They're describing how he teaches. They're describing what he did. But now in this part, I will not be brought under the exousia of any of them. It's now a verb. In other words, I will not, all things may be lawful to me, but I am not going to be brought under the dominion or the free will of somebody else and have them dominate my life in a negative way. Now see, if I'm submitted to God, I don't have to be afraid because God loves me. God will bless me. God will anoint me. God will lead me. God will help me do whatever I need to be done. But if I'm not serving God and I exercise exousia, that may be legal but not helpful to me, because that's where it's coming from. If I exert exousia, that is not helpful. It brings me under the free will of one who may not love me, who will work to destroy me, to rob from me, to steal from me, and even to kill me. And that's what's happened to a lot of people. He said, I will not be brought under the authority of any of these things that are not helpful to me. Because if I start doing those things, I am giving myself, because all exousia is under authority. All exousia is under authority. And if I put myself under the authority of one who is not, or something that is not helpful to me, I'm putting myself under the exousia, the free will of Satan. Now, if I put myself under the free will of Satan, what happens? He can do to me anything he pleases because I've put myself under his authority. That's why he says all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. I can do whatever I want to do, but if I do the things that are not helpful, if I do the things that are not of God, if I take my exousia and I move it out from under the authority to the one true almighty God, then I immediately put myself under the free will of one who does not have my best benefit at heart. Are you getting this? I can still do whatever I want, but it may not be helpful. It may be counterproductive. It may cost me my life. You can. Did you know right now, you can drive any speed you want to on the highways? They say, yeah, but there's laws. Not if you don't want the law. You can drive any speed you want. We used to see it all the time on New Creek, that curving road that goes right past all those trees right beside the creek. People used to drive 80 miles an hour down there, 100 miles an hour. Every one of them wrecked. Every one of them went off. Every one of them went into a tree. Every one of them went into the creek. Why? Because you can't navigate the curves. But boy, they're free to do whatever they want to do. And after one, in 1 year, there are about two or three seniors in high school killed on that highway. It stopped. Why? And everybody said, well, they were such a nice kid. Why would God allow this tragic thing to happen? God had nothing to do with it. They were practicing Azusio. I can do whatever I please. But it wasn't helpful. And they put themselves under the authority of one who does not have their best interests at heart, or their parents' best interests, or the community's best interests, and their life was stolen because they rebelled against the will of God. They expressed free will. They did whatever they pleased. Kind of sounds like some adults. Well, I wonder why God would let this happen to me. He didn't, but you got out from under His protection and you got out in this area and look what you wrought on yourself. And the first, you know, you don't hear people say, I wonder why the devil did this to me. Because we know the devil, we know he is not out for our good, but it's like, well, why did God allow this to happen? He didn't. He didn't have a single thing to do with it. But He allows you to practice Azusio, free will. The liberty to do whatever you want to do. In 1 Corinthians 13, I won't read it, but he says, if we do not have love, we're nothing. If we don't practice our Azusio in the love of God, for the love of God, through the love of God, that Azusio will become destructive to us. See, but I want you to get this. This new doctrine that Jesus could do whatever He wanted to, that Jesus is talking about, hey, the devil's nothing, we can just cast him out. The kingdom of God is here, we can heal, we can deliver. Wow, a new doctrine. It's not new. Adam was created with Azusio. See, now we can get on this little Christianity trip that in Christ we have Azusio. God created Adam with Azusio. He created him. He said, you have free will. He told him, he says, you have dominion over the earth. Well, let me look at it this way. God created Adam in His own image, in the image of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He gave him dominion, which we understand when God gave Adam dominion, it was delegated authority. It was to operate under the authority of God. He just didn't give him, say, well, you can do whatever you want to. It was to operate under the kingdom of God. He was to bring it into dominion, into subjugation unto the Father God. And as long as Adam stayed under the hand of God, everything worked. It was good. But in Psalm 8, 4-6, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now, when it says that you made him a little bit lower than the angels, the Hebrew is Elohim. Elohim is the same word, and God said, let us make man in our image. Let Elohim make man in our image. Our image, our image. Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man, let God make man in our image. And here it says in the Hebrew that you have made man a little bit lower than Elohim. In other words, we are subject to God, but God created us in His image. God has free will. And He created us in His image. That means we have free will. And He crowned us with glory and honor. He has given us dominion over the works of everything that God created. And it emphasizes that even after that. It says, you have put all things under His feet. Wow, that sounds like God. And He's made us in that image. Now, do you understand where your ability to choose is so crucial? It is how God created you to have choice. It is a God-given right. Oh, I'm going to go in another direction. I can't go there yet today. It is a God-given right that you have choice. And when you start saying, well, I just don't have a choice, red lights ought to start going off. Beep, 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 beep. I mean, they ought to just start flashing. Because God gave you choice. For you to say you don't have choice is to deny the liberty you have in the Father and in Jesus Christ. But it does speak of one thing, because the devil works to take away your freedom of choice. As long as you are under his dominion, the devil will ride roughshod over you because you have put yourself under his exousio, under his free will. And the devil will play with you like a cat plays with a mouse. He'll let you think you're free, and he'll slap his paw down on your tail and grab it where you can't get back in the little hole that you wanted to find so bad. We were talking in Sunday school. We had a cat one time in Ohio, and we saw him out in the backyard, and he had an odd position. He was laying real close to the ground, and it wasn't just laying like cats do on the top of the ground. I mean, he was laying weird, and it's like we didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, we realized he had his hand in his paw, arm, in a hole in the ground, and he pulled that paw out and threw a baby bunny about 6 feet in the air. Well, it's like, man, that's what the devil does with you. He just plays with you. He'll get you and get that claw hooked on the inside of you, and then he'll, when you don't expect it, he'll just pull you out of your little hole in the ground and flip you up in the air, and he'll just play cat and mouse with you. Well, why did God allow that to happen? Well, are you in his will? Are you submitted to him? Is he your Lord? Oh, Jesus, save me, save me. Well, your salvation has to wait until you die unless he's your Lord and you're submitted to his will. The devil has access to you. We don't like that, but that's the truth. See, Adam was created with a free will, the ability to choose. He was created as an individual. He was created unique. He was created special, just as you are. And when you lose that concept that I'm special, that I'm unique, that I'm an individual, you conform yourself to what everybody else is doing around you. And if you look at what's going on around you, it is not God. And you start accepting things that everybody else does. Well, they do it so much. You know, parents love this with their kids. Well, everybody else is doing it. Why can't I? And you just want to scream. It's like, I don't want you doing what everybody else is doing because their kids are dying. Their kids are going to have bad things. I don't want those things to happen to you. But Mom, everybody's doing it. I don't. And what do parents say? I don't care what everybody else is doing. And you shouldn't. This isn't a group walk that we're all on. When you start doing what... If you have tattoos, I apologize for this in advance, because I know a lot of people have gotten tattoos now and they're real sorry for it. But what is the issue of everybody wanting to get a tattoo? I see 60-year-old women walking around at Walmart with tattoos on their neck, their shoulder, their ankle. You know, I'm glad they're not showing me any more skin, because I'd hate to think where they got tattoos at. But now let me make my point on it. Everybody wants to get a tattoo this day. Why? Everybody's doing it. But if you want to be unique, you should not get a tattoo. Go, what? Because they tell you, well, you're special if you get a tattoo. If everybody's doing it, why do I want to be like everybody else? If I want to be a rebel, if I want to stand out from the crowd, I won't get a tattoo. That doesn't sound real rebellious, does it? You know, I'm going to rebel against everybody else. I'm going to rebel against authority. I'm not getting a tattoo. Whoa. Everybody thinks, boy, you're really brave getting a tattoo. Well, in this day and age, you are brave and gutsy if you don't. Amen. Because everyone's got them. I mean, as a young kid, I would hate to do things that identified me with old people. And when I see old people at Walmart with a tattoo, why do I want to become like them? They're the ones I'm in rebellion against. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to be a real rebel, become a Christian. Stand out from the crowd. Have some guts and courage. Stand up for truth and honesty. Be like Superman, the American way. I mean, stand up for it. Stand, make yourself distinct instead of just going along with the crowd. Well, you know what? You know, lemmings to the sea. It's just we all dive in and die. It's like, well, that really changed the world, didn't it? But that's what society is like. because society doesn't know Jesus. They don't have the freedom. They're all exercising exousia, but they don't know why or what direction they're headed in. Exousia, as I said earlier, is not the only word for authority or power, but it is a unique word for authority and power. It's not used all the time, so you have to be careful of when it's exousia and when it's other words that literally mean just the power of authority and the power of might. But it is a unique word, and it declares free will under authority. And you've got to remember, under authority, your ability to choose, it always submits you to an authority. Exousia understands equal opportunities, not equal outcome. And that's so crucial to understand. It understands equal opportunities, but not equal outcome, where the world wants equal outcome. And when you work at equal outcome, you strip away people's individualness, their specialness, their uniqueness, because you want to make them in the forms of brick, and you want to take away the stones that God created us to be. Let me back that up with just a little bit. Isaiah 65, 1-3 says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, a people who burn incense on altars of brick, of conformity, of being like everybody else. Let's make an altar an easy way where it's not difficult. We'll use brick. God says these people that build altars of brick and offer sacrifice on them, that they are rebellious and they walk in a way that's not good according to their own thoughts, because they didn't build the altar the way that God wanted them to build it. Sounds a lot to me like the church. We've built an altar to be like every other church, to be like every other group. And God wants us to be an altar of stone. He doesn't want your church to be a carbon copy of ours or ours to be a carbon copy of yours. But he builds us. Now, let me give you the scripture for that. Exodus 20, 25. He says, and if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. So we're to make altars of stones. But we'll even take stones and we start chipping away at them to make them all individual or to make them all alike. And we strip away their unique qualities by making them all alike. That's why a lot of people don't like to come to church, because they've been in churches where everyone is made exactly alike. And when you got saved, God told you you're special, you're unique. If you were the only person left in the world, Jesus still would have died for you. Wow. I'm special to God. No, you're not. You're just a brick, and we can replace you with any other brick, because all bricks look alike and all bricks do the same thing. Hallelujah. And we're going to bless God because we're just a pile of bricks here waiting for God. No, you're stones. And God wants to keep your individuality because he made you special. He made you unique. He made you to be a special person to meet a special time. I think about all the other women I could have married other than Debbie. I don't think we would have gotten along near as well as Debbie and I get along together. Understand what I'm saying? We were made for each other. Well, does that mean that everything always goes perfect? No. Sometimes I have to make room for her. She has to make room for me. But we're made unique for each other. Why? Because we're both stones and we have to adjust. Now, if we're just brick, one woman's as good as another. Now, you try that out and see how long that lasts. Oh, one man's as good as another. And you see people, you know, that they'll get divorced and boom, they got another boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, it's just like boom, 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 boom. Why? Because one's just like another. Oh, we can go off on that a little bit, but I'll be good to you. See, there's a choice that's set before us. Go to Deuteronomy 30. I know I'm about out of time, but follow me on this. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Oh, man, there's so much in this. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. God says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. He said, man, if you love me, this is my command that you love me. Well, you all know we can't command anybody to love any other. It has, love is an act of choice. It is an act of free will. But he says, do this, do this, do this. Learn to love me. Learn to appreciate me. Learn to praise me. Learn to worship. Learn who I am. And if you do that, you'll live and multiply and be blessed in the land that God gives us to go and possess. And everybody goes, amen, brother. Verse 17 says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we stop hearing, our faith begins to die. So he says, if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. God is warning us. He says, if we will love God, God will bless us. He will multiply us. He will cause us to live. He will cause us to walk in blessings. But if we do not love God, if we yield our exousia to another authority, it says, you're going to perish. You're going to die. Everything that you thought you had with me, you're going to wind up losing. He says, and worship other gods and serve them. I announce you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, listen, choose life. What's he saying? Use your exousia to choose that which is good and you'll live long and prosper. But if you use your exousia to go another way, you shall surely perish. Well, what does God want for our life? And I know there's some cynics out there, well, God doesn't really care. He just wants me to perish because nothing ever goes right in my life. No. He sets before you, this is so crucial. He sets before you, he says, choose life. You choose it. It's not God's choice. It's your choice. You can choose to live or you can choose to die. You can choose righteousness or you can choose the other way. You can choose that which is lawful and not helpful and be brought under the free will of the evil one, or you can choose life and live. It's your choice. I can't make it for you. Your husband can't make it for you. Your wife cannot make it for you. Your mommy and daddy can't make it for you. This is a choice that God has given to you. Choose life. Choose that which is good. He says, choose life that both you and your descendants, this choice has effect. It's not just about you, but he says, if you choose that which is good, I'll bless your children by your choice. Now the Bible tells us that if a generation walks away from God, the curse will follow that family for four generations. Wow, that's a long time. But it says, but if you will serve God, God will bless your family for 1,000 generations. 1,000. That means if I start making right choices now, it's going to bless my family for the next 1,000 generations. Do you know how long man has been on earth? I'm not talking about years, but how many generations? It hasn't even gotten to 1,000 generations yet. I want to tell you, God designed this planet and built this planet for 1,000 generations and more. And we haven't even gotten close to it yet. Are we going to run out of oil? Are we going to run out of water? No. Well, what about this? Are we going to run out of oxygen? We're all going to die. No. Why? God created our planet to sustain human life for more than 1,000 generations. And this isn't just to me, it's to my next generation. They're blessed to 1,000. The generation after that's blessed to 1,000. Generation after that is blessed. It just keeps going and going and going. But your choice isn't just about you. Your choice isn't just, well, I don't know if I feel right doing this or not. It's like, oh, stop the whining. Choose life. Stop holding between two decisions. Choose life. Stop trying to figure out all the details. Choose life. He's given us the example here. He says, man, if you make another choice, you're going to perish. I'm telling you in advance, you're going to die. Things are not going to go right for you. But if you choose life, you're walking the blessings of God. Let's keep reading. Choose life, and both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God will give you the promises. God will give you the inheritance. God will give these things to you if we will choose to follow Him. God created us with the right to choose. Let me give you another scripture. Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Whoa, sounds pretty good. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I choose life by choosing the words I speak. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. If I choose the right words to say, well, that's just back into that confession stuff. You bet. See, because if I confess the right thing long enough, pretty soon I'll start believing it. Once I start believing it, I'll start doing it. If you start saying, well, I don't like people of that color. Well, if you turn around and say, because that's a stupid thing to say. If you turn around and say the right thing, I love people of all color. I love people of all color. Hallelujah. I love people of all nationalities. I love people no matter where they come from. I just love people. Hallelujah. I just love people. Pretty soon you'll just believe it. And you meet somebody that you used to not like their color, and it's like you don't even notice their color. Why? Because you've just got yourself convinced you love people of all colors. Hallelujah. You just start doing it. I just love people. I'm kind. I'm generous. I just love everybody I meet. You say that long enough, and pretty soon you say, well, they're an idiot, you know, but I still love them. Bless their heart. You know, they may need a lot of help, but bless God, I still love them. And, you know, I can help this person out a little bit. And you start trying to help people instead of just walking away and, boy, they're an idiot. I don't want nothing to do with them. You know, pretty soon you just start loving them. Why? You've said it so often. And this is just a natural principle. But if you say it with the love of God in your heart, it'll work a lot quicker. If you say, I love people because God loves people. I want to bless people because God blesses people. Because I use my free will in the person and the character of God. And if I submit to that, these things will start coming out of my heart, not just out of repetition. And I'll start living out of the character and the grace of God. Let me give you another scripture. I got to do this. Romans chapter 8. No, we're not going to get through this. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. See, if I want to live by just my feelings and by my emotions and live and exercise my exousia any old way that I want to and don't submit it to God, I'm carnal. And if I'm carnal, I am not subject to the law of God. In other words, I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to follow after God because I want to do it my way. And we all know how rebellious children are. I want to do it my way. Well, you may do it your way, but you're going to do it my way because if you do it your way, you're going to do something stupid and hurt yourself, and I love you too much to just let you hurt yourself. So you're going to do it my way because when I was young, I did it your way and it didn't work. You're supposed to have some wisdom the older you get. Amen. Supposed to. Did you catch it? You're supposed to have some wisdom the older you get, and so you can instruct the younger ones. But today, oh, well, you know, let them do whatever they want to. Well, look at the mess we've created with that. Why? Because parents haven't learned yet to make the right decisions, and so they're just doing whatever they want to do. Sin dominates people's lives. Sin wants to take control, wants to subjugate people into bricks. It wants to take away their ousia and their free choice. Jesus said, I am the door. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I'm the door. You can enter in. I'll give it to you. See, I can choose. Now get this. We're closing now, finally. But get this. I can choose Jesus. I can choose life. I can choose to turn my life around. Because there's too many Christians that think, well, this is all that there is. I can't expect anything else in life. I just have to accept things as they are. No, 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 no. I can choose to turn my life around. I can choose life. Why? I have free choice. God created me with that. The devil says, you can't choose. Look at the mess that you're in now. You'll never get out of this. You will never change. You'll always be this way. Whoa, wait a minute. What is wrong with that? What is wrong is God created me with free choice. And the devil is trying to talk me out of the ability to choose. How do I break that? I make a choice. How do I choose to get out of where I am? It starts with a choice. I choose life. I choose to go on beyond where I am at. I choose Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. If I'm in Christ, there is no condemnation. But if I'm not walking in what Christ has bought for me, there is condemnation. But if I'm in Christ, there's not. How do I know if I'm in the flesh? If I'm in the flesh, there's condemnation. If I'm in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. He continues, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to walk that way. I don't have to do the things that hurt me. I don't have to choose that path that leads to destruction, but I can choose Jesus Christ. I can choose life at any time, at every time, at every decision. There is a choice that God is putting before us. There is life, there is death. There is blessing and there is cursing. There is righteousness and there is ungodliness. And he says, you have ousia. Choose. It's just that simple and just that difficult. Choose. If I choose God, I'm making him my Lord. If I choose convenience, if I choose the easy way out, he may still be my Savior, but I'll never get any benefits from it. Not till I die. I don't know about you, I don't want to wait till I die to start enjoying life. I don't want to have to wait till I die before I make finally a right choice. I want to choose now. I choose Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Have you chosen Jesus? I mean, have you really chosen him, or you just kind of going along? Well, you know, I was raised Christian. I believe that Jesus died. I believe he was a real man. I believe those things. But, you know, I was just raised as a Christian. No, have you chosen Christ? See, I was raised as a Christian. I was taught Christian things, and I got into college and found out I wasn't a Christian. Found that out. God told me. He asked me a question. You call yourself a Christian? And I said, yes. Why? And I started going through. I was raised in the church. My dad's a pastor. That always makes you a Christian, you know. So I've always been basically a good kid in life. But the more I tried to explain to God why I was a Christian, the more I was convicted in my heart I wasn't. And I finally just got to the end of myself and like, Lord, I'm not. Why? Because the only way you can become a Christian is to choose Jesus. You don't become a Christian by following what everybody else has done. You become a Christian by choosing Jesus Christ. So again, have you chosen Jesus? Have you chosen him as a way of life? Have you chosen to submit your ousia to his ousia, to be obedient to him? Say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Have you chosen Jesus Christ? Or are you just kind of doing your own thing and hoping it works out? How's that working for you? Is everything going great so far? Yeah, I've done it my way. You know, Frank Sinatra made a big hit song, I did it my way. It's like, yeah. Is it working? If it isn't, you need to change. If it is working, you are really unique. Because it doesn't work for very long. I can give you lots of people's names on that one. Have you chosen Jesus? Let's bow our heads. If you haven't chosen Jesus and you want to say today, I choose Jesus. Well, even if you have chosen Jesus and you want to say today to renew that, say, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus over myself, over my family, because I know it will bless me and it will bless my family. It's not either or. But I choose Jesus because of what he'll do for my household. I'd like to see your hand. Just say, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. It might be for the first time. It might be just a renewal of commitment. But I choose Jesus today. He's setting before us life and death. He's setting before us our future. He says, choose life. Choose life. Father, we thank you for those that choose you. Father, I know that you look on us and when we cry out to you, God, we don't know everything. We don't understand everything. But God, just by making a choice opens a door that we can know you better. Father, we ask you to walk through the door into our heart today. Walk through the door that we open to you today, God, that you can live in us, that we can know you. But Lord, we also choose to walk through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. And God, we choose to open that door and to walk in to the life of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Father, lead us, guide us into your blessing, God, that we would know you more than we've ever known you before. Release us, God, from the things of the past that have held us back and help us, Lord, help us, God, to make right choices from here on out. Lead us, guide us, Lord, by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.